Lobster bisque, get me some.
Sup nerds, it's basketball. Welcome to Horse, a basketball podcast about everything except for the wins and losses. My name is Mike Schubert, and I am joined, as always, by my trusted co-host, the televising the NBA All-Star Draft to the All-Star Game itself, Eric Silver. Eric, how's it going?
A noted improvement that makes everything better and more fun. Thank you, Michael Schubert. Right? I'm having a great time.
I just compared you to something that is a fun, silly addition to something that is already good. Look at you. Compliments. We're off to a banging start.
I might even know what full court press is.
Ooh.
I don't want to make any promises.
Before I get way too excited at the prospect of that, I think we got to take care of a little adjusting of clothes and such in a little segment we like to call the locker room.
Lace.
Button.
And the buddy goes over.
Loop-de-loop and pull, and your shoes are looking cool.
Mike, we have some new patrons.
Thank goodness.
I love new patrons. Shout out to Joanne Funke and Lottie Steijart for joining the Horse family. We also have a new producer level patron, which is Ross Papa. Ross Chaboy Papa. We are saying all these things because he was so nice to us at PodCon, and he bought us this like really awesome Japanese mythology inspired basketball book.
It's a basketball book called The Art of Basketball by Edo Ball, and it is fantastic. It takes like traditional like shogun style art and then turns it into an NBA crossover. It's amazing. I'll put a link to this book on the episode page at horsehoops.com. But Ross, thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you. And speaking of nice people at PodCon, we got to give a shout out to every single person that was nice to us at PodCon, which was a lot of people.
So many people.
Yeah, like first off, we got to thank Jeffrey Craner for not only being part of our live show on Thursday, but then also unsolicited talking about Horse on a panel. His quote was ridiculous, which is now on the website. Someone asked him if he could make any sort of podcast, what would he make? And he said a sports podcast because, quote, there are only two good sports podcasts, ESPN 30 for 30 and Horse. That's what he said. That is absurd. So thank you so much to Jeffrey. And also thank you to Paul Bay, who talked about us in a podcast swap panel, which was really cool. But also just everyone at the convention, so many people who were either familiar with the show already or had just heard about the show or did not know about the show at all. People were really nice to us. So thank you all so much. It was a really good weekend for us in general, but I think it was a really huge and crucial weekend for Horse, especially where it's at and it's like just past being new stages of a podcast.
Absolutely. And talking about it in terms of multitude, I mean, it's funny when you're like, hey, we have a Harry Potter podcast, a Dungeons and Dragons podcast, mythology podcast, a podcast about an obscure Canadian television show, and we have a basketball podcast.
To see people's faces when we would end our lineup with and a basketball podcast, they would all turn their head like a dog where you ask, do you want to go for a walk? Like,
And then I'm like, no, wait, it's very good.
But trust me, it's good.
Mike, you know who's also really nice?
The rest of our producers.
Our rest of our producer level patrons. That is Teal, Jordan Castleman, Misha Stanton, Brianne Wingate, Burger, Skylar Jorgensen, Gladiator Vader, Adam Hartwick, and now Ross Papa.
Amazing.
Ross Papa is the newest addition to the funkiest and freshest pickup basketball team. You just like meet a couple of people you don't know and you're like, oh yeah, I bet if we could ball. And then you just like run the court for like 10 hours.
It's really good. That happened to me once the first time I played in Oakland. There was a basketball facility I played at called Jamtown in all caps, which was very good.
Can I also say that Jamtown sounds like the name of a rapper's bedroom that they say on MTV Cribs?
Welcome to Jamtown.
Me.
And then it just with three replays.
Would you like to be the mayor of Jamtown?
I would love to, but you know what sucks?
Term limits.
Well, they got bought by Nike, so they are no longer Jamtown. They're called like the Nike Hyper Elite something. And I got an email about it. I replied all caps. Jamtown was a better name, you fucking idiots. And I unsubscribed.
Don't be surprised if you never get good Nike apparel ever again. You're going to like order it and be like, oh man, I really need this shirt. And there's just like holes cut out where the nipples would be. Be like, this is for Jamtown.
I miss Jamtown.
Well, Michael, you know what's something they don't have to miss? He's our sponsor, Shaker and Spoon.
What a transition.
I'm just taking you. When you're upset about Jamtown, make fancy cocktails with Shaker and
drink
Spoon.
Drink to forget.
Exactly. And drink to remember with Shaker and Spoon. Shaker and Spoon, we've had them on the podcast before because we love them. They are a company that gives you boxes of ingredients to make very fun, special cocktails. All you have to do is add the alcohol.
You get all of the complicated things that are hard to shop for. The easiest thing is getting the booze. The hardest part is everything else. Even if you're just trying to get like solo cups and ping pong balls, it is always the hardest. They're never actually in like the paper plate aisle or the paper towel aisle. You have to go to some like weird dog food aisle. It's like, oh yeah, solo cups, but all the other stuff too.
You know, ping pong balls for my dog.
And all the other ingredients, if you're trying to be a fancy person, are so hard to get. But Shaker and Spoon sends you a box of all the fancy stuff, so you look great. And hey, here's the secret: you are really lazy,
but you're so great. Good. And you're we're at best. Your party.
Oh,
great
so
party,
good.
Fancy boy.
Thank you, fancy person, for this party. Where'd you get all these fancy things? Oh, I procured them.
Here's the secret about podcast ads. Everything comes down to whether you guys put in this code or you go to this website at the end. It really is kind of like voting for your podcast with your money. So you get something cool, you get a discount, but it also shows the advertisers that like I rep this podcast, and I will even go out and do like a capitalist interaction to support them. So if you want to support us and you want to show us that you'll rep hard, go to shakerandspoon.com/horse and get $20 off your first box. That is shakerandspoon.com/horse, $20 off your first box.
Well, are we all dressed and ready to rock?
My shoes are definitely tied.
Good. Mine are those new Nike shoes that automatically tie, so they just zorped. Okay, cool. Now that we're all dressed, it's time for our first segment, which is called Full Court Press. Get it? Like the news?
Yes.
Nice. So the NBA All-Star starters were announced. The fans, players, and coaches all voted. And the five starters from the Western Conference are LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Paul George, Steph Curry, and James Harden. And the Eastern Conference starters are Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid, Kyrie Irving, and Kemba Walker. So the way this works is that Giannis and LeBron are team captains, and playground style, they will be choosing the starters for their teams. And unlike last year, this year, it will be televised, which I am so excited about.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes,
we're going to finally get to know the order. They're going to get to pick everyone, not just the starters, but just for now, only the starters have been announced on February 7th. That draft will be televised. I am beyond hyped.
It's just a holiday. Mm-hmm. I'm making dip.
I'm getting a Shaker and Spoon box. I'm getting drunk.
I'm putting on my Sean Kemp socks. It's going to be a party.
So that already was going to be awesome, but a new wrinkle has been unfolded. It has been furrowed. It has been released. And this morning of recording, Monday, January 28th, Anthony Davis's agent, Rich Paul, announced Mr. Davis wants to be on some sort of team that, quote, allows him the chance to win consistently and compete for a championship, aka, hello, New Orleans Pelicans. You have been very bad for my entire career. Can you please trade me to a team that's good at basketball?
Please do better. My eyebrow needs more space to flourish, and I think it should be done while close to an NBA championship.
So Anthony Davis is easily one of the top five players in the league. He is a generational talent. It is going to be a big trade wherever he goes. Lots of pieces are going to be involved. Players, picks, etc. This is a big deal. And there have already been rumors that he is going to go to the Lakers because he's the same agent as LeBron. There is a lot of interest in him going to Los Angeles, a major market. The Celtics are also in play. The Warriors are a dark horse, which would be far less fun. ESPN kept saying that the Knicks were in play, which I think is 100% just so that like New York media will write about it and then quote ESPN things and then give them money. That like the Knicks are not getting Anthony Davis.
One guy hanging out outside of Madison Square Garden was like, yo, it'd be really cool if we got Anthony Davis.
Sources say, yeah.
It was James Dolan in a wig.
Playing a kazoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Man, this man playing the kazoo has some good takes.
The main reason they're doing this is because the Celtics, by a very particular rule, cannot trade for Anthony Davis until the season ends because of their contract with Kyrie Irving. So the thought is that they're doing this now so that the Lakers can try to sweeten the pot before they talk to the Celtics. So Eric, as a Celtics fan, how do you feel about this?
This is what I was saying before, that just get rid of a bunch of players who don't know how to deal with their shit and then trade them for Anthony Davis and his amazing eyebrow. I love it. I love it a lot. What I don't love is math, which is ruining my goddamn life.
It's not and math.
It's
it
math.
Is,
I'm
it
blaming
is
math.
Contract minutia.
Like I said, math. That's ruining my season where Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis can hang out. Listen, I'm all for Anthony Davis. We've just dealt with so many media layoffs, and like this is the relatively the profession that we're in. Mm-hmm. I'm all for people doing the thing that's best for themselves. Players having agency and figuring out what they want. just like end up with the Celtics eventually, Anthony Davis. That's all I want.
Well, I want you to go into the kitchen real quick and get me some Reynolds wrap. So that you can make a tinfoil hat, because I've got a crazy conspiracy theory going on right now.
Okay, hold on. Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, we're out of Reynolds. We have the store brand. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. Crinkle, 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 crinkle.
That store brand is so loud.
All right, I'm back. I have my hat.
Okay, good. I already have mine on, too.
Look. Oh, you brought yours from home?
Yeah, it's a big top hat.
Oh, I can't believe you sent me out of the room. You have an aluminum foil top hat?
I do. Look how nice it is.
It's very nice.
Mm-hmm. So this actually combines the two stories that we talked about. On January 25th, LeBron posted an Instagram story, and we all know that LeBron is very intentional with all of his social media usage. He posted an Instagram story of him in a car singing along to a song, and the lyrics are, quote, "I know you're with them now, but soon you will be mine. If I could bring it back, I'll probably press rewind."
Right, that Fetty Wap song.
That is a Fetty Wap song. First off, great job, Fetty Wap, for LeBron still liking you. It is 2019. Wow.
I loved Fetty Wap so much in 2017. One time I got really drunk at a party and I was DJing the music. Mm-hmm. I kept forgetting. I kept putting on Trap Queen. So I put Trap Queen on 12 times during that party.
Sounds like a good party.
It was great.
So the thought here is that LeBron, who now gets to pick the starters for the All-Star game, is going to pick Kyrie Irving as if to get him back. I know you're with them, but soon you'll be mine.
Right. And this is related to Kyrie making the apology phone call,
which we can neither confirm nor deny was at an Olive Garden.
That's true. Well, the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie. Kevin Love is there.
Yes, yep. Of course. So here's the thought. LeBron lets Kyrie Irving go to the Celtics. Lets him get all disgruntled as being the quote-unquote leader with the team and getting frustrated with the
you
young
mean like
guns.
Two years ago?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Then LeBron goes to the Lakers. Then LeBron gets Kyrie on his All-Star game team. Look how much fun it is to play together. Look how much you've learned. We had this phone call. I played hard to get a little bit while I was at the Olive Garden with Kevin Love, our other friend. Now you feel bad for being all young and bullish before. Look how great things could be. Well, at the end of this year, when your contract ends, what if we make a little trade on the Lakers and we get Anthony Davis on our team? Then you come back. Look at you. You're so much older, wiser, and smarter. We're all friends. All that tragedy is behind us. Me, you, Anthony Davis on the Lakers. LeBron is playing interdimensional chess.
I hate this so much. I hate it because
it's believable.
Yes, that's one of them. But just like the amount of trolling that needs to happen and the long game that LeBron has been playing with Italian food and the media and with my Instagrams.
And an interdimensional chessboard.
Also, don't stop. Stop. Like, Mike is looking at me very worrisome. His top hat is falling off. He's totally unhinged.
LeBron is just a schemer, and everything is so planned and meticulously pinpointed all these certain ways. I could see this all falling together, and if it does, we're going to point to this moment, and we're going to scream at the top of our lungs.
Let's say this is all true. Big leap. You're welcome. Big leap. This is what happened when LeBron did the decision when he went from Cleveland to Miami the first time. You can't just drop something on someone. You can't just make a big, dramatic, single event that will then explode. You need to leave crumbs on the way. So I think that this is entirely possible if he does it, because he's slowly introducing people to it. And now that Instagram and Instagram stories, which weren't around in the early 2010s, it's a very good way to signal to the people who are paying attention to NBA Twitter that what he's doing is okay, and he's been thinking about it for a while. Fuck. I hate it. I hate this so much.
The biggest,
you just made me buy it.
Right? The biggest red flag for all of this? Nobody likes Fetty Wap in 2019. That's the biggest red flag. That's why it stands out. It's not like he's just jamming out to a Drake song or a Travis Scott song or something. This is a very deliberate choice of lyric. This is a Fetty Wap song I've never heard of before.
Right.
So it seems incredibly intentional.
You have to do a song that someone has to Shazam, and then the title of it on everyone's phone is like, "I want Kyrie back." What is this? 1991 funk standard.
The artist is, and Anthony Davis is going to be on the team, I promise.
Anthony Davis is definitely the name of someone who created funk songs that were sampled in hip-hop later.
I could see it.
Can I talk about something nice about the NBA draft instead?
Sure.
If you were one of the captains, either LeBron or Giannis, mm-hmm. What song would you play when you were picking people to demonstrate that it is in fact you? Because I feel like they have to have some sort of sting or like the equivalent of walk-up music.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Giannis picks someone, he should play "Let's Hear It for the Boy."
It's pretty good.
I think it would be great. Does Carly Simon go, "Let's hear it for the boy"?
No.
And then James Harden has to walk up to it. It's asserting dominance. It'd be like, this is my goofy ass team. And then when Joel Embiid walks up, they'll just like be dancing together.
And they have to do the dance moves from Footloose.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
See, if Giannis did that and then I get to do a flip and I'm LeBron James, I play the song also from Footloose when Kevin Bacon is anger dancing his way through the abandoned warehouse.
Oh, yes.
Never.
This is an emergency full court press. Breaking news, breaking horse news. The horse broke into the stable. Mike's favorite player got traded away and he died. It's entirely possible Mike is dead. Here to tell us about how Mike is dead is Mike.
Hey, I'm not dead, but
you might be.
My heart is. So yes, unfortunately, the New York Knicks, my favorite team, traded Kristaps Porzingis in addition to two very bad contracts in Tim Hardaway Jr. and Courtney Lee in exchange for the Dallas Mavericks' Dennis Smith Jr., their 2021 unprotected first-round pick, a 2023 pick that is only top 10 protected, and then two players which are going to just, their contracts are going to expire. They won't play a second for the Knicks, Wesley Matthews and DeAndre Jordan. Now, this move is very disheartening in that Porzingis was my favorite player. He was our hope. This whole move is like, the Kristaps situation was already risky, and now it's like three times as risky, and I'm terrified.
You're so sad.
I'm very sad.
What a day. So now we have to record. Today, it's mm-hmm. Friday night.
Right.
Mike and I were going to watch the Celtics-Knicks game anyway, mm-hmm. and now it's an emergency,
yeah.
and we need to talk about it. So, the amount, it's like someone in your family passed away, the amount of tweets that you were getting.
I mean, I felt like that. Like, it was rough. And I unknowingly went through the seven stages of grief, and I wanted to talk about that. I didn't see a picture of the seven stages of grief until someone messaged it to me as a joke the following morning. And looking back, I went through all of them. The first was shock. They made some reports that it was happening. I was like, no, this isn't going to happen. They're not actually going to trade him, which goes into the second stage of grief, which is denial. I was like, this isn't going to happen. It's not true. And then even when reporters do this thing where it's like the teams agree in principle, I was like, well, they've agreed in principle, but they haven't agreed officially yet.
They're not going to make
the math work. It's not 100% yet. Then it did actually happen. So I went to the next stage of grief, which is anger. I was super pissed. I was like, fuck the Knicks. This is awful. But I was like super pissed. I was like, fuck the Knicks. Fuck everything. Fuck this. This is the worst. Blah, blah, blah.
You acted out on Twitter. You mm-hmm. said mean things to me a bunch of times.
Oh, okay. That was because you were not sympathetic to me at all. In no way. You sent me a message that said, that's a tough break and lol. And that was your consoling of me.
We talked about
and then
that.
You were like, oh my, I run a podcast and I have to re-edit it. Ugh. My favorite fucking player got traded. Shut the fuck up.
Are you sure you're not still on anger, bud?
No, I mean, I'm chill. We'll get to the next step.
You definitely seem
chill. You made me relive my anger phase, so I'm just getting back in the mix. But then I got into bargaining, which says, quote, seeking for a way out, which, as I mentioned, I was like, maybe Seattle will get a team and I'll just root for Seattle. Then depression, legitimately at work for the next 3 hours. This happened at 4 o'clock. From 4 to 7, I did like nothing. I was incredibly unproductive. I couldn't do anything except continue to read tweets, Reddit posts, articles about it. It was awful. It was terrifying. Then
I should have sent you a Sarah McLachlan song at this point. I really should have.
I don't know. I would have like closed it. Then you go to the next phase, stage 6, which is seeking realistic solutions. And I was like, okay, let's start to look at the bright sides and be like, because like the plan, basically what this does is it opens 2 max roster spots so the Knicks can try to get people like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the team, in addition to hoping we win the draft, and then in addition to hoping that the Mavericks are bad for these future picks. So it's a lot of like things that have to go right, which makes this incredibly risky. But I was like, you know what? Maybe this works. Maybe Dennis Smith Jr. isn't that bad. Maybe Kevin Durant comes. Maybe Kyrie comes. The problem with all this is that we tried to do this as the Knicks in 2010, and it didn't work. So there are so many possibilities where this does not work. It's kind of like an Infinity War when Doctor Strange is like, I see all the possibilities and you fail 13 million ways, but it works in one. This is what the Knicks have done. I don't know if you saw the end of Infinity War. Spoiler alert, half of the people die. So that's in play. But then we move on to acceptance, which is where I'm at now. And I'm just accepting where we are. And knowing that, you know what, maybe it's for the best and maybe this will all work out and it's out of my hands and I can't do anything else about it. I just got to hope that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving come through and we get Zion Williamson, and KP either doesn't turn out to be good or goes to a different team.
We're going to talk a lot more about this. Mike and I have a lot more thoughts, and hopefully Mike won't yell at me anymore. You can check out our Patreon. We have this open for everybody. We have a long extended overtime all about Kristaps Porzingis. The link is in the episode description, or you can check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/horsehoops.
Well, I think that just about wraps up Full Court Press.
Yes.
Cool.
Smash cut.
Star wipe.
Mike, I'm going to warm you up for my That Actually Happened.
Are you going to give me a blanket?
Yes.
I'm very cozy.
I want to show you some websites from the 1990s.
Okay.
First one is from You Got Mail.
Very good.
It still exists. Good. This is a promotional from I think 2000. There's Tom Hanks looking longingly over there. Mm-hmm. It looks good. Here's a 2001 website that's still on NBA.com, just like commemorating Michael Jordan coming back to the NBA for 5 years and then going back to the Wizards.
Nice.
So just like if you want to click on some cool links. Mike, I would say that these websites are kind of bad.
I mean, they're dated.
Definitely dated.
Mm-hmm. They're not as good as that dated Space Jam website that's still intact.
Well, Mike, what if I told you that the dated Space Jam website still exists on the internet?
Oh, yeah.
That you can access.
Yes.
All right, we're going to do that again, and you're going to at least make it sound good.
I know about this thing.
I do it, but I'm going to tell you the story of it.
Okay, tell me the story.
Do you know the story of it?
I just know that it exists, and they kept it intact.
Yes.
They never changed it.
Yes, exactly. But let's look at this.
Okay.
Let's look at this artifact of the old internet.
It's like a fossil.
It is. Because everybody got to get up. It's time to slam now.
It is time to slam now.
For those of you who don't know, Space Jam is a movie. This is the original website of Space Jam.
www.warnerbros.com/archive/spacejam/movie/jam.htm. What happened to the L? Someone else is holding this L. This is so beautiful.
It's wonderful. It just has a lovely star background. Space Jam logo prominently featured in the middle. And there are all these wonderful things that you can choose that are basketballs and planets, space shuttles. There's the press box shuttle, which I think that you would love, that you can just click on right there. But don't worry, there's no...
Oh, wait, the press box is really sad. You click and it says, there's no Space Jam news at the moment. Go back to the homepage for more of the site.
There might be some in the future.
They should have
posted... Get it like the news?
They should have posted something about the Space Jam 2 thing that they tweeted out.
Well, here's the thing. This website hasn't been updated, and it almost got taken down by Warner Brothers. This website is like outside of the Space Jam continuum. Like, people don't even acknowledge that it exists.
Warner Brothers doesn't acknowledge that this website is real or official and stuff?
Yes, because this was one of the first movie websites to ever exist.
Mm-hmm.
This was like before, in the late 90s, no one thought the internet was going to be a thing, mm-hmm. especially not large movie studios like Warner Brothers.
Right.
Here is the story all about how this website got made by a bunch of people. The person who wanted this website the most, his name was Don Buckley. He was the vice president for advertising and publicity, and his entire job was to literally access other people who might not be watching Warner Brothers movies.
Very good.
So he actually used the internet. He liked the internet, and he thought that it was going to be interesting. So he fought to hire a web designer. And that web designer's name was Dara Lynn Weiss. They created the website for the Batman Forever movie.
Oh, nice.
In the spring of 1995, and it was the studio's first true movie website. In 1996, Buckley was able to hire two more people, Jen Braun and Michael Trittner. They're going to be very important later.
Okay, cool.
Trittner was just a 26-year-old graduate from Oberlin who spent 3 years in Slovakia. So, like, cool. Thank you, Oberlin, for giving me someone who is extremely stereotypical of you that I could say on my fun podcast. But don't worry. They never say that he actually knows how to code. It's just like, this guy sucks. But don't worry. Jen Braun actually knew how to code, and she was a massive Cavs fan.
Oh, that's
She's from Cleveland. She distinctly remembered the shot that Michael Jordan took over Craig Elo, and she remembers falling down and crying and being inconsolable for days.
Yeah, it's got to suck for her to be working on the Michael Jordan movie. She must hate that man.
But then you kind of like accept it.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to make the Boston anything movie.
You mean you didn't work on Uncle Drew?
Well, I mean, I don't associate Uncle Drew with Boston. I mean, like, if they were like, you got to make a movie about the time the Yankees lost in 2004 in the World Series, I'd be like, nah, I'm good.
That's fair. that's a good point. So this four-person team, then they added an intern that Jen knew from her time in Ohio. five-person team tackled their first website, which was the 1996 blockbuster Twister.
Ooh, very good. I also love, what a sign of the times, that to make one website, they're like, yo, we need five people.
We need four people and an intern. We need it very badly. We need to make sure this cow animates real good.
Whereas, like, right now, you can just go to, you know, whatever. We won't name any by names because none are sponsoring us yet.
If you would love to sponsor us, we will then go back and dynamically insert you into this.
You know, now any Joe Schmo can use insert the website provider here and make a website in minutes. It's so simple.
And you can just go to
horse. You can just go to websitename.com/horse and get X amount percentage off of your subscription. Subscription today.
It's so positive adjective. And also, other positive adjective.
I like that our adjectives depend on which company
we care
using.
Really bad, a lot about it, like our ad reads, Mike. Here's what was going on the Twister website. First of all, I have to say that my longtime best friend and roommate, her name is Hetty Hunt. Her real name is Helen Hunt. Yeah. And it's funny because I always say that she won her Oscar for Twister.
Good for her.
Here's what happened when you logged on to the Twister website. An email warned you about a tornado developing 30 miles east and then wondered if you would like to be a volunteer storm chaser.
That's fun. I hope people knew this was fake.
Yeah, it looked like it was an old computer terminal thing.
Twister, the movie, we promise this isn't really about tornadoes.com.
Listen, it was available. It was 1996. Unfortunately, that website doesn't exist anymore.
Damn.
We're working up to the release of Space Jam. They did a ton of random stuff to promote the release of Space Jam. This five-person team convinced Warner Brothers that they could make a website for it. Before the Space Jam website existed, they had a placeholder site. And I want to tell you this, and I want you to imagine it, because this is lost to time. And as a New Yorker and a lover of Space Jam, I love it so much. The placeholder site was done up in the style of an old subway station.
Oh, I'm already on board.
With Space Jam movie posters adorning the background and a subway car full of Looney Tunes characters. Isn't that amazing?
Is there a photo of it or no?
No, it's lost to time. It was just their placeholder, so it wouldn't exist. It was like coming soon, Space Jam.
No one has this?
No, no one has it.
Subway style art mosaic stuff is my favorite.
So the posters, and then like all like Taz is like on the Q train.
Dang. Yo, shout out to the Subway for killing the font game across the board. Their normal font is Helvetica, which is beautiful. And then all the old school stuff with the mosaic where they've got like all the stops for like Canal Street or all that kind of writing is also amazing. Man, they did a good job.
And now think about our good friend Foghorn Leghorn is on the Subway stop.
Ah, but I tell you, I'm on this Subway.
I'll say there's a delay on the R train.
I say, I went on the uptown train. I needed the Brooklyn bound train.
And the Daffy Duck is there?
I say, why is this train running local and not express?
A dee 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 dee, it's local.
And then the Roadrunner is just running on the side going.
If anyone wants to check it out, this is still up. I'll take you on a quick tour. Press box shuttles, what we talked about. There's no news.
Very disappointing.
Jam Central, you just click on that.
Oh, very good.
It's just stuff from the actual film. If you go to photos from the
photos
film.
Photos is very good.
You're going to get some glossy JPEGs of Michael Jordan.
Very glossy JPEGs, and they're very small. Let me check the image resolution really quickly.
Don't worry. They're full-size, full-color internet quality stills.
Oh, don't worry. They are a whopping 16 kilobytes, and the dimensions are 360 by 216.
Hey, ooh, that's so good, especially for now.
I'm going to make that the wallpaper on my Motorola Razr.
Wait, Mike, send it to me on my Sidekick.
Oh, sorry. I accidentally sent it to your new number, which is on your Sidekick 2.
Oh, sometimes people get that confused. There's also the Jump Station, where they just did WB stuff. The lineup was where you got cast bios of the humans. You can also get some 1995, 1996 stats of the six NBA players that are in Space Jam. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know Sean Bradley's blocks per game in 1995, 1996, you can go there. Junior Jam, Mike, I got you. If you want to play Match the Monstar game, that's where you got to go.
It's pretty good.
And then Lunar Tunes, of course, is where you can check out the soundtrack artists, profiles, photos, sound, and video clips that were released from Atlantic Records.
I would just like to let you know that you skipped Behind the Jam, which is the behind-the-scenes thing, which has things like character development and sketches and behind-the-scenes footage.
Ooh, I love Behind the Jam. And there's also stellar souvenirs. So if you want desktop patterns, There you go.
The behind-the-scenes footage is very grainy footage of Michael Jordan dribbling lots of basketballs in a green screen with five men in full green screen little jumpsuits.
I like how you download. Oh, no, I hate it. All right, well, Mike, I need to finish the rest of the story, so we got to stop messing around.
Sorry, I'm just playing all of these green screen videos. They are very funny. Because it's just Michael Jordan in a green room. Look at these shenanigans. Look at them.
You want to know the caption for that?
Yes.
It's, here you've got some footage taken from additional cameras on set called B-roll by those in the biz, in which Michael Jordan plays against several men who are both shorter than he and less talented at the sport of basketball. The little green men will later be digitally removed and replaced with cartoons. Neat stuff, huh?
Pretty good.
Gotta love that quick late 90s wit. So, Mike, here's where it gets a little messy. Remember in the earlier in the episode when I told you to go look for Space Jam, I told you to Google it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why is that spacejam.com is no longer the website. In 2003, they moved spacejam.com to be a scaled-down website, which is only used to sell special edition DVDs.
Fuck
which
that.
Is bullshit.
Fuck capitalism. Also, why would I get a DVD? I've already got Space Jam on VHS.
But what if you like run it down and you need something else?
The internet exists. It's super cool.
Hey, it's not 2003 anymore. On December 29th, 2010, someone DM'd Jen Braun. She was hanging out at her parents' house in Ohio and now being sad that LeBron is not doing as well as they previously decided in Ohio. Because mm-hmm. she's from Ohio. Uh-huh. Do you understand?
I do.
This is a basketball podcast.
Yes, it is.
It's called Horse.
Mm-hmm.
It's about everything except for the wins and losses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She checked her email and she got this really weird message. Hey, this is kind of out of the blue, but today on a popular website called Reddit, 2010, you still need to tell people what Reddit is.
Real good.
An old site you created brought up a nice little bit of nostalgia. Turns out that it was being used for a RTIL. Today I learned one of the most popular subreddits on Reddit that like everyone flocks to. This guy had just found the website. They were talking about Looney Tunes, just like getting drunk in their basement. As he says,
as one does.
As you do when you're hanging out. And they were talking about Space Jam. And then they Googled it on 2010 Google and just found the website. It was still up.
Wow.
Immediately after, because nothing good can stay, the website racked up about 500,000 views. They've rejected on Reddit. Again, this is what we said before. Warner Brothers has been super mum about this. They don't want to talk about the fact that this website exists. So they will not confirm that it exists or does not exist.
Why is Warner Brothers so against acknowledging that this website exists? It's wonderful. It's like the one shining glimmer of hope on the internet.
That's right. Unfortunately, one, they didn't really invest in it. So they could look kind of silly by not actually helping out something that was going well on the internet. And two, since this thing existed since the late 90s, it's not a monetized asset anymore, so they had to shut it down. Why would they pay for something to exist on the internet if it's not making them money?
Because it's cool.
Yes, very good point. Quickly, the website went dead for a few hours. So, remember the other guy, the doofus from Oberlin?
Mm-hmm.
He now still works at WB. He's now the VP of internal marketing.
He is the Warner brother.
And the intern that they hired was now his vice president.
Yo!
So, Michael Tritter found out that the website went down. He flipped out, called up IT in Warner Brothers and told them to put it back. And then they put it back.
Yes.
And now this wonderful website, this relic of the 1990s, continues to exist just because this guy still works at the same job that he had 20 years ago.
Thank goodness for that guy. Also, shout out to the intern for working his way up the corporate ladder.
My favorite part about that was that he passed everybody else.
Good for him.
He's very good. So now everyone is still very afraid that Space Jam is going to leave. So there's been a Twitter bot to periodically check on the Space Jam website at Space Jam Status, and it tweets every 3 hours, in case you are worried, Space Jam is still online.
Very good.
It only has 1,600 followers, which I feel like people need this more in their lives. As much as people say that they love Space Jam, are you not invested enough to love spacejam.com?
I don't need that notification or that thing in my timeline that's saying the same thing every 3 hours.
I need that. I want the reassurance. I need some comfort in this wild world we're living in, Mike. Because
yeah.
Everyone needs to get up. It's time to slam now.
It is time to slam.
We got a real thing going now.
Yeah. Welcome to the Space Jam. It is your chance. Do your dance.
It's the Space Jam.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Kenny.
Get up. Get up. Get up. It's time to slam. So yeah, Mike, It turns out that actually happened. Reason that this relic of the 1990s, this wonderful, amazing website, promotional Space Jam material, exists is because one guy still works at the same job that he had 20 years ago making the Space Jam website.
We should send an email to all of the people involved in this story and then see if we can send them a print of the homepage and then see if they'll sign it, and then we can frame it and put it up in the Multitudio.
Oh, I want that.
Right?
They probably would.
I bet they would. What else are they doing?
I mean, like, they have jobs. They're all like...
When we post this, we should send them all an email or try to find somehow to contact them. Be like, hi, we talked about this thing. And then maybe we'll do a follow-up and where they talk about it in the back.
And you're famous and we love you. Mm-hmm. Please sign it.
Hello, how's it going?
I pronounced all of your names right. I'm sorry that I said that Oberlin was dumb. But you were in Slovakia for 3 years and I thought it was really funny.
I think we should do it.
I like that a lot. So everyone just take some time and just poke around the Space Jam website. Remember, spacejam.com is not the spacejam.com that you so think.
No, you want to go to...
Say that link again.
Oh, baby, I closed it because you yelled at me.
It's because you were poking around the Space Jam website.
It was too much fun. I'm very sorry. You want to go to https://www.warnerbros.com/archive/spacejam/movie/jam.htm.
Noel.
Noel.
You can also just search for Space Jam website in Google and you can find it there.
That's less fun.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Less backslashes.
Or you can go to horsehoops.com/episode16 and check it out there. We'll have a link to the Space Jam site on the website.
Yeah. Well, Mike, that's the end of the episode. I'm just going to read these basketball tips and terms to myself so that I can play basketball as well as Michael Jordan.
Ooh.
It's always a good idea to warm up before games. Stretch and do moderate calisthenics. Practice handling the ball with both your left and right hands. Set up a 4 or 5 cones about 4 feet apart.
Wait, are you saying
that this isn't the end of the episode?
No, I got to do a fun little segment that we like to call 3 on 3.
1, 2, 3. 3, 2, 1. 3 on 3.
When handling the ball, always keep the other hand up. It helps with your balance. It makes it easier to switch hands.
Cool. Okay, Eric, so at the beginning of the episode, we talked about something that makes the city of New Orleans very sad, and that's Anthony Davis leaving eventually to go play for another team.
Sure.
New Orleans is not having a great week in sports and football. They just had an awful blown call against wonderful person Drew Brees, who is just a great man.
And this is the last time we're talking about football on this podcast.
Ever. But I wanted to specifically pick a 3-on-3 that I knew New Orleans would win the number one spot of.
Oh, man.
So I cooked the books so that they would win. I did
not. Most crawdads per basketball team.
I have made the etouffee. I have boiled the crawfish. I have made the gumbo so that New Orleans will win a 3-on-3, so they at least will have some sort of W to take home this week.
Most French quarters per basketball team.
No, this is the best and worst jersey sponsors on the little top left or top right, depending on how you're looking at the person or jersey, the little patch for the sponsors that is now on almost every single NBA jersey.
Okay. What is your criteria here? Like, wait, the company is the best or it looks the best?
It is a mixture of being a perfect fit, just one that makes a lot of sense. It is also important to have a good logo on it that looks nice with the rest of the jersey and isn't gross. Also, you get bonus points if it's a funny sponsor. This is for a different time, but something else that the Pelicans would win is if we did the best and worst arenas, because their arena is the Smoothie King Center.
Best name.
That is the best name for an arena ever. So we're going to start with the worst ones so that we can really ramp up and build hype towards New Orleans having something good happening this week. And I also would like you to try to guess them, because I think you'll be able to guess some of them. You'll be able to guess the best ones that fit well.
I'm just going
to
say Squarespace each time. I just want to let you know.
That's the Knicks.
I know. That's what I'm going to say each time.
So before we go into the rankings, just a little backstory. In 2016, they started putting little patches on the sleeve, you could say, of a tank top.
Sure.
Like right on the nip, okay, so to speak. The left nip. Has some sort of corporate sponsor on it. Almost every single NBA team has one right now. Right now, I believe 26 out of the 30 teams have them. When they first started, it was just a few, and teams were like, no, that's awful. We're never going to do it. And then a year later, they're like, how much money did you make off of that? Just kidding. We've got one. So now almost every team has
one. Yo, that's Squarespace money.
So now if you buy a jersey online, it does not have that ad. But if you buy a jersey in the arena, it does have that ad on it.
Interesting.
Which is interesting, and it's a weird thing where you could want to get it because then it means your jersey's more authentic. But then also, if you get one online that doesn't have it, you don't have a corporate sponsor. So, like, you could play it either way. I don't really know. But here's the deal. You've got some that are great and you've got some that are garbage. Here are the ones that are garbage. The third worst is from the Sacramento Kings. Can you tell me who you think the sponsor is? It is vaguely, emphasis on the word vaguely, Californian.
Squarespace.
No, it is not Squarespace. It is Blue Diamond Almonds.
Oh, that's odd. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense.
Their justification, just like anytime you release new jerseys or anything, NBA teams put out this big press release. So I'm going to read to you what the Sacramento Kings said in their official press release. Today, the Sacramento Kings announced a new partnership with Sacramento-based Blue Diamond Growers, the world's leading almond brand. The new partnership connects the Sacramento Kings with an internationally recognized company that shares the team's visions for showcasing the best of California in a global marketplace, highlighting the regional roots in agriculture and investing in health and wellness. For decades, Blue Diamond Almonds have been one of Sacramento's most well-known products around the country, said Kings President Chris Granger. We are proud of this community's history of high-quality agriculture. It's why we've committed to supporting local producers by using locally sourced food in our arena, and why our players are proud to showcase the Blue Diamond brand on the court and around the league. So yeah, really excited about this high-quality agriculture, a.k.a. the $5 million per year they're paying to be on the jerseys.
Yeah, like great local nuts you guys got.
You know what I think of when I think of Kings basketball? Nuts.
Just love nuts.
And when people ask me, hey, Mike, would you like some almonds? I always say, are they from Blue Diamond, internationally known agricultural group?
Are those not name brand nuts? I'm not having any. If they want local nuts, they need to go like down to a farmer's market and go to like just some person who's harvesting nuts and is trying to put it all together. Wouldn't it be great if it was just like grandma's nut factory on their jersey?
It'd be better than Blue Diamond Almonds.
Grandma's Nut Factory coming to your pocket near you. You have to keep the nuts in your pocket. It's mandatory.
Grandma's nuts in your pocket.
Grandma's Nut Factory.
Yeah,
keep them in your pocket.
That's really good. So let's move on to the second worst, which is a very new one. This one only came out this season, partway through. What?
Grandma's Nut Factory was pretty fun.
I mean, it was good. But I also didn't want to think about Grandma's Nuts.
That's fair. No, it's fair.
So the Houston Rockets have a new sponsor. Can you guess which company it is?
Oh, Squarespace.
No, it is Rocket Phones, but Rocket is spelled capital R, capital O, capital K, lowercase I, capital T, because it's fun.
Right. What is a Rocket Phone? I've never heard of that before.
Oh, let me tell you about Rocket Phones. Rocket Phones are about to rock, capital R, capital
I hate
O,
it.
Capital
I hate
K,
it.
Your world.
No!
That's because they are one of the firsts. They are one of the firsts made with glasses-free 3D technology and exclusive 3D content. You know how it's 2019 and you really want to watch all that 3D stuff?
But I don't have to wear the glasses, which is very good.
Honestly, if I were going to a movie and there were two showings of it at the same time, and then the next couple times were ridiculous, so I had to pick one of these two, mm-hmm. and there was the 3D for $15 and the non-3D for $20, I'd pay the $20 to go to the regular one.
Really?
3D movies are garbage, man.
I'm not saying they're not. The price is the main reason why I don't want to do it.
If it was the same price for both,
yes,
I would choose the non-3D version.
Here's the thing that bothers me the most about it. It's the glasses. Mm-hmm. As someone who's currently wearing glasses, mm-hmm. I look like a fucking idiot. So I don't want that. But also, you have to return them, uh-huh. so you know they're reusing it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to have the same glasses that have been worn by like some greasy 14-year-old who just like smooched all up on my and like rubbed their pubescentness all over these glasses that I have to put on my face.
Oh, you don't trust the really dedicated 14-year-olds working there to Lysol wipe them down before they put them
back
in the containers?
They're probably the ones who are putting it on their faces. It's the same 14-year-olds.
Oh my goodness. And only Rocket makes affordable phones that come with vital life services like roadside assistance and telemedicine.
What if, like, you have access to WebMD?
I don't know, just call 911 when shit goes wrong.
Every phone
can do this.
What I like about that is that both of them can be solved by 911.
The fuck is telemedicine? That just means 911.
You call a doctor and it tells you what's going on with you.
Oh, hey, does my car insurance have roadside assistance? No, but you know what does? My Rocket Phone.
Hey, my whole arm is scaly. Do you have a Rocket Phone? No? Sorry.
Can't
I don't know what
you.
To tell you.
My phone doesn't have telemedicine. Sure, it's never been done, but at Rocket...
No, never a good start. Don't be the first ones.
Oh, they make it a lot better, and by better, I mean worse. Sure, it's never been done, but at Rocket, we never say never, because now your phone can. We never say never, because now your phone can.
Now your phone can say never?
Now your phone can say never?
Listen, I need copywriters.
You know what's the best part about Rocket phones?
That I don't own one?
They're not even out yet. So they're advertising on NBA jerseys for something that is coming soon.
It's very Daryl Morey to like allow a startup that doesn't even have a product to promote.
I think they make other things. When I was Googling Rocket, I think they make speakers, but they have their phones, and their phones are just like those knockoff. It looks like the phone equivalent of Soulja Boy's gaming systems that he has that are just PlayStation knockoffs.
It could be a PSP, but it's not.
It's a Soulja.
It's a Soulja console.
It's a Soulja.
It's a Soulja Game Boy.
It's a Soulja game Soulja Boy.
That's good.
Okay, you ready for the worst sponsor?
Yeah.
It is the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay.
Do you know who their sponsor is?
Like that bodega down the street that makes really bad egg and cheese.
Would have been way better. When you think of Brooklyn, what do you think of?
Bodegas that make fat me bag egg.
Perfect.
And
you
Jesus.
Think of like homegrown, right. Anti-establishment.
Right, like they're city
rough.
Jerseys. Do the right thing. It's Spike Lee. Mm-hmm. It's like
Notorious B.I.G., all that kind of like FU kind of stuff. Like, sure. Hey, we're from Brooklyn kind of stuff. We're really hard to get to. That's the great... trains are not good.
Why? Why would you do that?
Because I'm a Manhattan
in
boy.
In my house. Yeah. Have fun paying three times as much rent as me for one third as much of the space.
I don't think your rent is not that cheap.
It's pretty cheap.
It's not as cheap.
It's pretty cheap.
Not a third of me. I like my Manhattan.
I exaggerated it for the comedy.
Ah, I see. Their sponsor is Infor. I don't know if you've seen Infor, but their logo is a red square with white writing that says Infor. You know how the whole Nets' color scheme is that they're black and white and they're the only team to not have color anywhere in their scheme and everything is classy and clean and crisp and black and white and simple?
Yeah.
The whole uniform scheme, the court,
seems like
the
you're building
arena,
to a point. I don't
everything
know
is all
is.
Black and white, and then they've got a big red square on the nipple of every
that is
player.
Stupid.
It is awful. It
what
is garbage.
What does Infor do?
Oh, don't worry. They're the most Brooklyn brand you can think of. Infor is a multinational enterprise software company headquartered in New York City, United States. It is the largest private...
Wait, hold on. Wait a second. Which other New York City are you referring?
The one in...
Is this like Harlem, but it's Harlem with two A's and it's in a Scandinavian country?
New York City, United States. It is the largest privately held technology provider in the world. Infor focuses on business applications for organizations delivered via cloud computing as a service. That is some fancy way to say they're a big-ass money laundering scheme. That shit is not real. None of those words made a sentence.
No. They are either, like, contracting for the military, or they are definitely just turning money over.
They're not real.
No.
So, we now move on to the best, thankfully. And before we go on to the best, I do want to give an honorable mention to the Utah Jazz. Their sponsor is Five for the Fight, which is a charity. Which is really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's Five for the Fight. Their whole thing is that you should just donate $5 in honor of someone to help cancer research. So their whole premise is like, hey, just give $5. And it's just trying to do that on a grand scale to raise more and more money for cancer research.
Interesting.
Right?
I like that.
It's just like going to people like, hey, can you just give me $5 to help out with cancer stuff?
Right, and then people see it all the time when they watch Jazz.
Exactly. So the... third best is the Cleveland Cavaliers. Can you guess their sponsor?
Squarespace?
It is Goodyear.
Okay.
So Goodyear makes sense because they are based out of Cleveland. Right. And it's a Cleveland kind of thing. The Rust Belt. You've got the people making tires and stuff, you know, for trucks. But what really puts them over the edge is that Goodyear has a good logo. It's the... who's the guy that ran the marathon with the winged foots?
Oh,
from Greek stuff.
Hermes. Mercury,
yeah, so it's like the Hermes Mercury
Mike,
shoe
Amanda's
with the wing
right
out of
there.
It. I know.
I can't believe
spirits.
You don't know that.
I'm sorry.
She's right there.
So it's just like that little logo, which is nice. It doesn't say Goodyear or anything. It just looks...
Oh, it's just the foot.
It's just
that's
the foot
cool.
With the wings.
Okay.
It's a nice little touch.
Yeah.
It's aesthetically pleasing, and it's a good way to sponsor without being gross, like Infor.
Right. And it also demonstrates how, LeBron ran away. fast with a winged foot.
But then he came back.
And then he left again.
Maybe he'll come back.
Yeah. Who knows? He can come back fast as Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
Or Hermes.
Ah, yes. Hermes. So the second best, and I want you to actually try to guess these two because you can do it. And please just don't say Squarespace.
Okay.
The second team is the Orlando Magic. Can you guess who their sponsor is?
Is it Disney?
It's Disney.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's a little less fun because it's not just the Mickey Mouse ears.
That, like, are they not ubiquitous enough? They could just do that.
It's the Disney with the thing that looks like a backwards G but is really a D and says Disney.
That doesn't make any sense.
And not just Gizney.
They should, you know what would be really good, though? If they had, like, a little screen that had a GIF of it and you just saw different people doing the Disney Channel. Oh, Mickey Mouse ear.
That'd be very good.
That'd be good.
I'm Hillary Duff, and this is Disney Channel.
What up? This is Raven Simonier, and you're watching Disney Channel.
It's just Raven Simone.
It's Raven Simonier.
Does she pronounce it Simone?
Yes, because there is an accent on the E. Again, Hetty Hunt has told me multiple times that it's Raven Simonier. She watches The View enough.
That is so Raven.
It's so Raven.
Have you seen the Lizzie McGuire video where she's trying to do the draw thing and she can't
do it? Well, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're not actually doing it, like, well, how would you be able to light bright it?
You just do this.
Well, I bet it would look stupid.
Yeah, but you get it close enough. She was just, like, making a...
I was just being nice.
Don't be nice to Hillary Duff.
Hillary Duff is doing fine.
She is doing fine, but when this came out, rather than be a good sport about it, she was like, grumble, grumble, grumble. It was hard to do.
It wasn't,
Hillary. It was very simple. And they gave you very clear instructions of what to do.
What up? This is Ariana Grande, and you're watching Disney Channel. Who would be the weirdest
person? She was on Nickelodeon. How dare you?
I was making a joke. Who would be the weirdest person to do a Disney Channel original movie thing?
Billy Ray Cyrus, because he was on Hannah Montana.
Oh, that's good.
Hi, I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and you're watching the Disney Channel. Don't break my heart, my achy, breaky heart.
You know, when I started this joke, I imagined what the peak of what you would say back to me. That was up there. That was exactly what I wanted.
Oh, this is Shaquille O'Neal of the Orlando Magic, and you're watching Disney Channel. Barbecue chicken. The general. And this is the general online. I see how.
Disney just makes sense, obviously, for the Magic. Their name when they came to be in the league in the 90s was Disney-inspired, so it all fits. That's because the Orlando Convention Centers was too many syllables, but Disney makes a lot of sense. There's so many in Orlando. Every convention's in Orlando. I hate it.
The Orlando Band-Aids in the Water.
The Orlando Blooms and their flowers. The best part of the Orlando Magic Disney sponsorship is that when they announced this partnership, it was just a video, and I'll post it at the episode description of horsesoups.com, of Aaron Gordon dunking at Disney World with Mickey Mouse in the background going like, woo!
I mean, that's all you need.
It's so good. It's very on brand.
That's very good.
So the number one best jersey partner sponsorship.
I have no idea who this could be.
Well, you know the team. It's the New Orleans Pelicans.
Whoa!
Right?
So surprised.
But can you guess who the sponsor is? It's already better than what you think it is.
Is it a New Orleans-based company?
I don't know if they're New Orleans-based, but they do scream New Orleans.
Okay. Is it like something seafood related?
Not really.
Is it like a plastic bead maker?
It is not a plastic bead maker. Shrimp it up. In New Orleans, we jazz it up with Zatarain's. Zatarain's is the sponsor of the New Orleans Pelicans jerseys.
Zatarain's?
Yeah, they make rice for jambalaya and stuff. It's like the New Orleans version of Rice-A-Roni.
But like, oh my god.
They offer products such as Spanish rice, jambalaya mix, yellow rice, dirty rice mix, and red beans and rice mix.
I'm worried about how you said dirty rice.
Oh, you never had dirty rice before?
No, I know what dirty rice is, but the way you said it, it was like, yo, coming up is a number one hit. You gotta do it to them. This is Hit That Thang by Dirty Rice featuring Ludacris.
I used to work for 3 years at a Cajun restaurant called
Dirty Rice.
Redacted.
Dirty Rice.
No, I don't worry. Called Papado Seafood Kitchen, and their signature rice dish was called Dirty Rice. And most people know that this is a food, but every now and then you'd get some very white people that you would describe a meal and you'd be like, yeah, and it's served with a side of broccoli and dirty rice. And they would go, dirty rice? And I would have to say, it's not literally dirty. It is filled with seasoning, you know, like pepper.
Have you heard of seasoning?
And they went, oh no, we'll have the white rice, please. We have enough of this pepper here to spice it up.
I brought my own from home so I can moderate the amount of pepper going into my dish.
Are there any bell peppers in this dish? I need to know if I need to gargle milk and spit it out.
It's too spicy.
So Zatarain's is the sponsor of the Pelicans, and it's so good. It's so good.
I love that you love it.
It's amazing. It's so perfect. When it was announced and they said Zatarain's is now sponsoring the New Orleans Pelicans jerseys, I just went, of course they are. It's one of those, if you made a dream scenario when they first announced this and you're like, okay, what is the best sponsor we can pick for everyone? You would pick Zatarain's for New Orleans.
The king of the ocean is going to sponsor us, just Crawdads. Crawdads are sponsoring the New Orleans Pelicans.
Shrimp is sponsoring the New Orleans Pelicans.
It's Scrimp with a K. Scrimps.
Here's a fun story about mispronouncing things when I worked at Papa Do's Seafood Kitchen. One of the things on the menu was the lobster bisque, you know, kind of like the soup. And someone was once trying to order lobster bisque. Yeah. And this lady turned to me when I asked her if she wanted any appetizers. And she said, yes, I would like the lobster bisque.
I love that.
And I said, oh, you mean the bisque? And she goes, no, 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 honey. I want the bisque. And then I said, oh, just so you know, you pronounce it like it's with a K, like it's just said bisque. And she said, oh, okay, I didn't know that. One order of the bisque. And then I said, one bisque coming right up, ma'am.
I think that lady owned you. I think you were just on Punk'd. The Ashton Kutcher show Punk'd. Also, lobster bisque sounds like a street baller that I really want to be
lobster
president.
Lobster bisque. That's good.
He'll steam you and pull you over the butter.
And be a dollar more than the shrimp bisque. Because that's lobster and it's fancy.
Lobster bisque for three. Lobster bisque.
Dunk, dunk, dunk the bread into lobster bisque. Lobster bisque could be the alternative to us getting custom jerseys, since considerations is too many letters to put on the back of an NBA jersey, which we found out the hard way that we couldn't make those custom Miami Heat jerseys where it was cash number 6 and considerations number 9. Unless we abbreviate considerations to look like a shitty indie band or
that.
A shitty DJ that's like considerations
DJ
with no vowels.
No vowels. I do like lobster 6 and then bisque as 9.
That'd be very good.
Can I be bisque?
Sure. I'll be lobster.
Thank you.
Just to let you know, if we made considerations without vowels, it would be CNSDRTNS. Constritons. Wouldn't work out very well.
Constritons. Constritons is my butler in my prison.
Constritons, please fetch me another bowl of lobster bisque. Coming right up, sire.
I like how you took it medieval, but I was going to say like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, like Jeffrey?
Yeah. It's like, Ayo, bisque.
No, he's Constritons.
Yeah, but you also call him bisque. Ayo, Constritons. And here's your story all about how I met my good friend, Constritons.
I like that we're a basketball podcast, but we're slowly creating more and more characters to like flesh out our future horse wiki.
The extended universe of horse.
In episode 16, they created the basketball player Lobster Bisque, a 1980s basketball star.
And his butler, Constritons.
Constritons. Who is either from medieval times or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
It fits in well with the idea that Eric's dad is the commissioner, Adam Silver. And Mike's dad, whose name is Joel.
It is, just like Joel Embiid. Well, that is the three best and the three worst NBA jersey sponsors on the left nip of NBA players.
Nice.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Horse. Horse is hosted by Mike Schubert and Eric Silver. It is edited and mixed by Eric Silver. The social media is run by Mike Schubert. The theme song is by Bettina Campomanes. Art by Allison Wakeman. And website by Kelly Beckman.
Shout out to our producer level patrons, Teal, Jordan Castleman, Misha Stanton, Brianne Wingate, Burger, Skylar Jorgensen, Gladiator Vader, Adam Hartwick, and Ross Papa. Mike, you know what internet presence is never going away?
Us on social media and
exactly.
Stuff.
Exactly. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Horse Hoops. You can also find us on Twitter at Horse_Hoops, because as we say as every single episode, it's because Horse
Warner
Hoops
Brothers didn't get a Twitter account.
It's because Horse Hoops was banned. Is this a new thing? You're going to make a joke each time?
Yeah,
now?
I think I like it. It's all a fun right, time because you get to do all the fun jokes. If you want to see any information about the show and see more of the things we talked about, you can check out our website, horsehoops.com. And for bonus content like stickers, extra audio, extra video of us playing 2K against each other, extra things where we turn 3-on-3 into 5-on-5, you can go to patreon.com/horsehoops.
You know, Mike, who I wish could sponsor my jersey?
Multitude.
It's Multitude.
We do have a very good logo.
I feel like I have like such a pitch down after talking about it so much at PodCon.
Dude, my elevator pitch game got so strong. I can talk about any show really well, even like Spirits of Join the Party, which I'm not a part of. I'm like, oh, I'm so good at it now.
Well, Multitude is an audio collective of people who come together to talk about the things that they love, but just because they love it doesn't mean they can't be critical about it. That is Spirits, that is Join the Party, that is Potterless, that is Horse, and that is Waystation. If you want to find out more about us, you can go to multitude.productions, or you can find us on Twitter at Multitude Shows.
And as we do every episode, we're going to put our hands in the middle and say something in the count of three, and I think it is only fitting to pay homage to the great city of New Orleans, who has been done dirty. On the count of three, we will say, jazz it up with Zatarans! 1, 2, 3,
jazz it up with Zatarans!